All right, in the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Now turn to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. Now, so from verse 1 to verse 4, yeah, this section of the scriptures talks about the emergence of the end time true church. And okay. Now, in this section, we can see some of the expectations of the Lord, yeah, that He has on us. First is we need to be taught constantly by God. Secondly, we must believe that He rules in a church and He shall vindicate for us. Especially, you know, if we are wrong, then there's no need for us to what? To vindicate for ourselves. But knowing that God will do the work for us. Okay. Now, if you look at verse 5, all people walk each in the name of his God. Now, you know, insofar as the church is concerned, you'll find that those who remain in the mountain of God must be very resolute to remain in the mountain of God and to continue to walk in the name of the Lord, despise all other people walk in the name of their God. Right? Now, here you find that it gives us a kind of what? Can't really describe it, yeah? Right? It's like, Hello? Forget it. Hey. Hello. Oh. It's okay. Never mind. Right. Now, you find that after the mountain of God has been established, it creates a situation in which that, you know, there is a group of people who would walk, what, according to the way of the Lord, and the wider world, or the world at large, will walk according to what? To their God. Right? You find that there will be these situations, right? Okay? Now, I think the main point here the writer is trying to tell us is that those who have come to the mountains of God must be very resolute to walk in the name of the Lord to the end. Okay? That's the main point. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. If you look at Jeremiah or Isaiah, you find that people move from the mountain of God to hills and mountains, right? Going to other churches. It's like, you know, they start to doubt the teachings of God and begins to what? Begins to go to other churches. It's mentioned in Jeremiah, right? Let's look at it, if I remember. Chapter 50. Okay, 51. Chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. Now, verse 6, yeah? My people have been lost sheep. The shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Now, the resting place here, obviously, is Mount Zion, the resting place of God. They move from mountain to hill. It's like, you know, going astray. Right? Now, so when we read the Micah chapter 5, right, we need to make up our mind, especially those who have come, for us who have come into the house of the Lord, to the mountain of God, then we must be very determined to remain in the house of God forever and ever. Okay, now look at verse 6 and verse 7, yeah? Now here it talks about the future glory of Zion, or we said the triumphant glory of Zion. Right? It's like saying that in that day point to, you know, a period which is, you know, much later than the establishment of the church. Okay? You know, it's like in that day God will assemble the lame, you know, the outcast and those who have been afflicted, right? And God shall rule over them. Now, when you start reading verse 9 onward, it seems that, again, Zion is going into a period of, if I can put it this way, a period of what? Of decline. Now, one, two, three is like here, right? Decline, yeah? Chapter 4, 1 to 8. Restoration. And for some reason, when you come to verse 9, it talks about what? The cry of Zion. Is there no king in your midst? Has your counselor perished? For pangs have seized you like a woman in labor. Okay? It's like the church is without the guidance of the Lord. So we begin to question, how could that be possible? If the true church has already been established, then how is it that the church is like in a period of toy and labor, or in the period of childbirth? Right? Now, if you look at the present situation of the church, ever since the establishment of the church, in the year 1917, obviously the church, you know, spread very quickly. However, the present situation is not at all encouraging or promising. Yeah, and you find that members don't really come to church, for example, on the Sabbath. Yeah, how many? What is the percentage of your church? I mean, those who come to the church for, I mean, those who come for Sabbath services. 100%. Like Gifford Park, how many? How many members are there? About 300, yeah? 250. How many come to church? 100, yeah? So 150 have gone. What about Leicester? Don't worry, I'm not great English. Don't worry. Sharing. How many members in Leicester? You don't know. You have gone to Leeds, you have gone to where? Okay. Never mind. What about Newcastle Church? How many members? Yes. 400 or 500. So the total is seven something. You see now? Not a very good sign. This is not just a local church problem, it's a worldwide phenomenon. Right? It's everywhere. So like the church is struggling for some reason. Right? Now, so you find that the church will go through a period of struggle. This is not the only account that we can find in Micah. Actually, it is also can be found in other part of the scriptures. I want to turn to Isaiah first before we come back to Micah. Now, Isaiah chapter 2. Right, turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Now, if you look at verse 1 to verse 4, exactly the same, Micah. Now, verse 5, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Okay, that is the standard set, yeah, for the mountain of God. Now, for some unexplained reasons, when you look at verse 6, yeah, again, it's talk about the trouble that the church of God is facing. Now, you'll find that actually there are two main problems mentioned in this part of the scriptures from verse 2 all the way, chapter 2, verse 5, I mean, verse 6, all the way to chapter 4, verse 6. Now, the first problem is about idolatry, right? Now, if you look at verse 18, for example, verse 20, for example, right? It's all about idolatry. Now, the second problem is pride, okay? We look at verse 11 and verse 13 and verse 14, 17. Yeah, all these verses talk about pride, right? Now, so, and because of that, it seems that Zion is what? Far from perfection. Now, so when you look at the true Jesus church today, actually we are also struggling with these two problems. Idolatry. Do you have any idol in your heart? No. Completely free. So superb. I asked the CYC student, they said Korean movies. Why Korean movie? Korean what? Korean
drama.
Huh? I know lah. they told me it's KD. Korean drama lah. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? That's why do you have any idol in your heart? Any idol? No idol. Whoa, idol free. Anyone? Anyone who does not have an idol, raise your hand. You don't lie, you want to raise your hand. You get what I'm saying? Problem, isn't it? Okay, now the second problem is what? Pride. Now, how often do you listen to people? How often do you listen to the workers of the church? How often do you listen? How often do you listen to others? Not very often. What does it tell us? Pride at work. Is that also? Problem. Now, God will not allow His church to be destroyed again. Now, what is He going to do? What is He going to do? He will allow us to go through a period of what? Trials and tribulation. We read chapter 4. Turn to Isaiah chapter 4. Now, we read verse 3. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3. Next, read. Verse 4. How is God going to purge? With the spirit of judgment and with the spirit of burning. The church, every one of us will go through this. You know, that's what we have been saying. Yeah? It is better for us to purify ourselves now, cultivate ourselves, yeah, rather than what? Rather than waiting for God to come to do the work on us. Right? And you find that this will be a very agonizing one. It's a very painful one. Right? Now, God cannot allow His children to go and worship idol. If your heart starts to stray away from God, it means that you are drawn away by a kind of idolatry. And that is not acceptable in the eyes of God. So, we shall go through the process of purging, which is a very painful one. Yeah. Now, you know, in the church, yeah, we have seen with our own eyes, okay, how God actually brought people back to the fold. Very painful. Yeah. Some people, you know, became very sick, very ill, and finally confessed their sin before God, you know, and then God gave them the Spirit at the last moment of their life. Okay, so you find that, yeah? After the establishment of the church will go through a period of struggle as well. Now, let's look at the description given in Micah and see what Micah said. Okay, we turn back to chapter 4. Now, we look at verse 10, yeah? Now, verse 10. Now, be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion. Now, according to the description given in Galatians, you know, Paul said to the members at Galatia, it's like he has to give birth to them once again because of their disobedience and rebellions until the fullness of God is in them. Right? Now, so look at verse 10. For now, the second part, you shall go forth from the city, you shall dwell in a field, and to Babylon you shall go. There you shall be delivered, there the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemy. It's like they have to pass through the process of what, being captured by the Babylonian. Now, if you look at the history of the captivity, God spoke through Jeremiah to tell his people that they must surrender to their enemies, right? And that is the way of escape. Now, why did God want them to surrender themselves to the enemy? That is the process of what? Being humble before God. And because of the pride of his own people, that's why they refuse what? To adhere to the word of the Lord. So today, if we refuse to listen to the word of God, then God will make us go through this humbling process. Right? You know, maybe we have not been through difficulty yet. That's why we cannot, understand how severe, you know, the punishment can be at times. With pride, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. According to Zephaniah, all the proud people shall be removed. Now, God does not want any one of us who worship idols, be it visible or invisible. God does not tolerate that. He cannot tolerate. So we'll go through a period of struggle. This is a description given from verse chapter 4, verse 9 onwards, all the way, talking about this process. Is in great details. Alright. Okay, now we come back, yeah? We come back. Now, if you look at verse 11, yeah, to verse 13, chapter 4, verse 11 to verse 13. Many nations have gathered against you, who said, let her be defiled, and let our eyes look upon Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, nor do they understand his counsel, for he will gather them like sheep to the threshing floor. Right? Now, you find that, you know, Jerusalem, Zion, shall be what? Trampled down by what? By many nations. Now, something that I have not explained to you. I think last year I did. When you look at the Old Testament scriptures, sometimes foreign nations, yeah, may not be the physical foreign nation. Okay, sometimes foreign nation refers to believers of God who exhibit the characteristics of foreign nations. Okay, now I want you to read Revelations We did Revelation last year, so we look at Revelation chapter 11. Let's read verse 12. Revelation chapter 11, we read verse 12. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Okay. The simplest structure of the temple or the tabernacle is like this, okay? Now, in the past, what? You find that within the temple itself, there are two compartments. This one is the Holy of Holies, HH, and it's divided by a curtain veil. And this place is called what?
You are graduating this year.
What do you call this? Holy place, a holy place, yes. What is this? Outer court. Okay, now in the NT, what happened? The coming of Christ? Remove this, yeah? So this is called? Inside the temple, this is the inner part of the temple, this outer court. Now, according to Revelations, what happened? Is given to the Gentile to tremble, isn't it? According to Micah, is what? Nation will come and defile Zion. Okay, now my question is, who are these Gentiles?
Those who did Revelation last year should remember.
How many of you were year three last year? So many of you cannot remember. Who were the Gentiles? Okay.
That's correct.
Yes. Okay, now, so people within the church, yeah? Now, we know that the church is made up of many nations, different nations, right? They gather together, right? Now, so you find that nation shall defile what? Zion, meaning people within the temple, within the household of God, shall defile Zion. And this corresponds very well with what Revelation has said. Yeah? Okay, now, so when you look at the Gentiles, meaning people who refuse to accept the word of God, and these people that come in, they serve the Lord, they do church work for God, and that amounts to trembling down the court of the Lord. Okay, now I want you to turn to Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter, 5 more minutes, I finished. People are waiting outside. Okay, chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Next to read verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. Okay, the Lord said that these people who came with their sacrifices, yeah, is likened to what? Trembling down his court. Right? Now, so you find that anyone who offered to God and at the same time live a sinful life and who does not respect God or whatever, his offering or her offerings amounts to trampling down the court. That's the one. Okay? Now, so you find that before the second coming of Christ, the church of God shall be defiled by people, according to the scriptures. Yeah? It will happen, and it's going to happen. And it is happening right now. Okay? Now, I want you to look at Daniel. Daniel. Okay, we look at chapter 8, yeah? Chapter 8. Now, look at verse 11. Next, read verse 11. Verse 12. This is a description, yeah, given to teach us about the situation in the last day and telling us what will happen, you know, to the church of God. You find that here, this small horns represent a kind of force, evil force at work. And for some reason, he gained momentum in the house of God. And the Bible says an army was given over to the horn. So he was given an army to fight against what? The daily sacrifices. Now, what are these daily sacrifices? According to Leviticus, what do you think that a believer of God must offer on a daily basis based on Leviticus? Something that they need to offer morning and night. What is that? Burnt offering. Yes, now when you offer burnt offering, what must you do? Let's say you offer a ram. What must you do? Of course you kill. And then you skin first, skin the thing. It's not the thing. Skin the animal. All right. And then what happened? You chop the head. Chop. And then into small pieces. Meaning, when you offer yourself to God, you don't talk about what? You don't talk about names. You don't talk about being known. You don't talk about, you know, what you have done for God. Yeah? It talks about humility. You find that this army, is given power to oppose just that. They boast of themselves. They boast about what they have done. You know, how much work they have done. You know, how powerful they are. You know, and they tell everyone and let the whole world know that God is with them. Understand? This is the little horn. It's in the church right now. Okay? Anyone who brings people to himself or herself belongs to this horn. Okay? And we should not fall for it. You get what I'm saying now? So it's happening. All this prophecy point to what? To the desecrations on the temple of the Lord. Okay? Now, any questions before I close? Because everyone is coming up. I'm happy I can end 10 minutes earlier. Uh-huh. Any question? Do I need to give them assignment? Yeah. Assignment, yeah? Eh? A small one. Small or large is up to me, okay? It's not up to you. Please read up 1 John, 2 John, 3 John 5 times each. That's your assignment. Okay, let's pray.